Okay, let's go. What a prayer. Then we'll go ahead. Go ahead and get started here. Father God, we just honor you as always, and we bless you in the name of Yahushua. And we just lift you up for all the things that you are doing in our lives on a daily basis. We just ask you to continue just to lead and guide us in all truth. And we praise you for revealing to us all the things that you have, and even the things that you're preparing for us in the near future. We just thank you in advance for that. In the name of Yahushua again, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. What I want to deal with on tonight is I'm just trying to see how I want to word this. I want to give us the opportunity to be reminded, as well as to understand. For us to understand. I want to remind each one of you that are part of this ministry, and to give you further understanding of it. The role that we have to play as far as the kingdom is concerned, and how vitally important each one of you are to the kingdom of Yah. I mean, it's just some things that Yah is doing that is so vitally important. And he has encouraged me to encourage you to. He has encouraged me to encourage you. I'll say it that way. So there are some things that I'm going to speak. Don't know quite what it is. You know, half time, I don't know what I'm going to say. But there are some things that I'm going to speak by the leading of the Spirit of Yah. And again, it's for an encouragement to encourage you and to get you to further understand the importance of you as individuals. So this is a lesson that's to us all, but at the same time, it is something that is meant for you. Individually, okay. First of all, you could have been a part of any other church, and I'm just speaking that in from a general perspective. I mean, when you really think about it, you could have been a part of any church. I mean, any church that you're in the Metroplex, even as far as, you know, to extend further than that, you could have been a part of any church on earth. You could have been born in other regions. You could have been, spent all of your lives in other regions. We never would have encountered one another, and we could have just been going through life, just having the understanding of what is considered the norm. The norm or the cookie cutter our understanding of the things of Yah. But, you know, as all of us well know, you know this is not the case. We have been commissioned to be a part of something that is wonderful. We have been commissioned to be a part of something that has the responsibility of enlightening the world. All of your gifts and talents have been given to you for a specific purpose. And Yah has brought all of us together in order to bring his divine will to pass. Again, I remind you, you could have been anywhere. I could have been in the world, you know, and I'm just explaining some things to you from my past in order, and while I'm explaining these things, I want you to hear me and then see yourself, okay, to show how your, in order to get you to see how your past is ordered by Yah. So we'll use that as a foundation, okay. The steps of a good man, okay? We'll just use that as a foundation. Proverbs, and we've used this before, but it is just perfect for this lesson, okay? It's found in Proverbs Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, and it says the steps. Now, when you look at steps here, it says companionship. So, each one of us have taken steps, but at the same time, when you look at it, it says the step, companionship, and as we go back to the root, it says step regularly. Upward to mount, along to march, down and causatively to hurl, bring, just march, run over. But when you look at the word that we looked at, it says companionship. So let's just put the word companionship in here to understand why I am saying all of us are here. The companionship of a good man are ordered by Yah. Now, when you look at companionship, it points out or it makes it more clearer from the perspective of why we are all here. Again, you could have been anywhere on earth. But Yah says to each one of us that I establish companionship of men. I establish companionship of men or of people, because man is not a sex. It's a metaphoric term that means, you know, it's like, you know, if any will not work, then he. The he doesn't mean just he, but it's a metaphoric term that gives a cliche as far as the understanding of the text is concerned. If anyone will not work, then he or she should not eat, you know, and when you look at that within its contextual meaning, it's dealing with somebody that is a busybody. It's not just saying that, well, they don't care about a problem, man. If they don't work, then they shouldn't eat. No, stay in the contextual meaning, because the contextual meaning is first of all pointed out somebody who's a busybody. So that busybody person who is always looking to cause drama, then Yah said, if they're not working, being a busybody, then don't worry about them. They shouldn't eat. Whatever happens to them, happens, you know. And so, as you look at, again, steps, it says companionship. So when you look at the word steps again, yeah, it is actual, the goings of an individual, but it lets you know that it's deeper than just you by yourself. But he wants you to see you by yourself in order to see what he is doing with us all. So when he says a step, each one of our steps has been divinely called forth by Yah, who delight in us to form a companionship in order to bring about his divine purpose. So your steps could have been anywhere on earth, but Yah or your companionship from the word meaning step. Your companionship could have been anywhere on earth, but Yah delighted to call us to have a companionship as a ministry because he has divine purpose for each one of us, and all of our companionship is necessary for him to bring about that divine purpose. So to show you how important this is, I have to allow you to see myself or my companionship in order to cause you to see how specific Yah is and how vitally important it is for each one of us to line up with our companionship. Other people have been sent here as a companion to what Yah was doing, but they got their own ideas and they went on and started doing other things. And so that's why I said I wanted to encourage you and further bring you into understanding of why you're so important. And Yah has said to each one of us, and I'm going to pound this in, he has said to each one of us, you could have been anywhere. I could have placed you in China. I could have placed you in Russia. I could have placed you in anywhere on earth, but I chose you to be in the Metroplex, and I made divine companionship with you and others in order for a specific purpose to be brought to pass. And you have to understand that and be encouraged by it. So Yah said, I ordered them. I ordered your companionship. In other words, none of us are here by mistake. You know, I used to tease my brother all the time. I said, man, Hurricane Katrina blew my brother-in-law down there. I used to mess with him. We used to tease each other back and forth about Texas and Louisiana and New Orleans and Dallas and stuff like that. I said, man, Hurricane Katrina blew you down here. But no, in reality, what's going on with him has caused him to be ordered. Yah said, I have a specific companion for you, and because I have a specific companion for you, I'm going to place you in an area that you're not originally from, because I have divine purpose for you, and it's not where you were born. Okay? When you look at us as a nation, Yah had to scatter us all over the world in order to bring us into divine companionship, so that when he gathered us, we'll be ready. We'll be seeking him. We'll be searching after him. And he had to order those steps, because if not, we would have been a wicked people that he would have had to cut off, and none of us would be here today. So he ordered these things to take place in order to bring divine purpose to pass, so that we could be in the positions that we are now. So when you look at the word order, it means to be erect, hence, to sit up. Yah says, your companionship is set up by me. Y'all, I'm going to keep saying these two people because, like I said, we talk all the time, you know. El and Mama told me, Mama told me I was talking yesterday, and we were sitting there sharing our dreams from the perspective of our project, and we were getting excited just talking about it on yesterday, and we were talking about how everything is divinely set up in the place, and the events and things like that were going to take place. We were both sharing our vision from divine companionship. And one of the things that I appreciate about what she said is that, you know, all these things I was putting together or wanted to put together, she said, but it would have been for me. You know, I know she don't mind me sharing this. If she did, you know, she can whoop me later. But I'm going to tell it. Because it's just good for everybody. It's a blessing for everybody. I know she don't mind. But she was like, you know, initially I was thinking all these ideas I had was in order to put these things together for me, she said, but I'm coming to the understanding that this is about the kingdom and every gift, and I'm just paraphrasing everything she said, but every gift and talent that I have, Yah had divinely set it up for me to be a part of this and what I'm seeing and everything that I wanted to do in the first place. Yah had already set her up. Yah had already set you up. Everything that you have going on in your heart, Yah said, I've already companioned you. I've already set you up. I've ordered you, so you've been henceforth set up to in order to bring about my delight in your way. Ordered by Yah, and he delighted in his way. Well, he delighted in his way because the companionship and the sit up is his. And it was just awesome to sit there and talk about it yesterday and to see how huge this vision is. And sometimes, you know, Elder and Mama folks, now we get kind of dumbfounded when we start to look at the details, you know, because we've been hands-on, when we start to look at the details of what's about to happen. And it's like, wow, we are a part of this. And Yah is actually has actually taken all of us and our gifts and talents and put it all together and made a companionship to do something that hasn't been done before. So he said, Lon, your steps have been ordered to unseal the scriptures. And I'm going to put people around you that have the gifts and talents that when these scriptures start to be unsealed, they're going to take that information and continue to unseal the scriptures. And then we're going to have a campus whereby people can come and be a part of the companionship that God has established with us in order to reveal his divine purpose on earth. This is not just a community thing. This is a on-earth kingdom come thing. The kingdom is coming with what we're doing. We're seeing the kingdom come to the point where Yah is orchestrating companionship. He brought companions in for a period of time just to get things rolling. Then he removed those companions out of the way in order to bring in other companions and to do all these different things because everything is divinely orchestrated by Yah. And we had to go through those processes. And you need to understand your importance. You need to understand that you're ordered. Now, again, I thought I was going to share some things with you about my background. And then from you hearing this, I want you to think about your path. I want you to think about your steps to companionship. Okay? Now, back in the day, it was always my dream to be a professional football player. That's all I thought about from as far as I can remember. That was my plan. I was preparing myself to do it. I was training to do it. I had the physical ability to do it, you name it, all of the things were there in order for me to play. And my mental state was there because what you have to understand is that, you know, when you play football, the higher the level that you get, it doesn't boil down to, oh, I just can run or I just can catch, but it doesn't do you any good if you can run and can catch, but you can't think. What separates athletes and causes some to go to higher level is the level of thinking. What makes Michael Jordan, Emmitt Smith, what makes these type of people, Barry Sanders, what makes these type of people legends in the sport is because of not only do they have the talent, but they have the state of consciousness to operate at that highest level. That's why you can catch one guy who's on the same basketball team with LeBron, but he'll go into the game and he'll look like he's never dribbled a ball in his life.
but yet he's in the gym practicing every day as a professional and shooting the ball every day as a professional. But the difference between first string and second string is like somebody who's never played basketball before. And it would amaze me as someone who has that state of mind to operate at an elite level athlete perspective, it would always amaze me, and I would say, why? You can jump just as high as I can. You're just as fast as I am. You're just as big as I am. But what is it that makes me get to go out on the football field and you still on the sideline? State of mind. I remember when I went into camp, there were 86 running backs. And when we all gathered in order to go out on the field and start going through all these drills and see who would make it and who would get cut, it was 86 running backs. That's not counting all the rest of the players. Here you got 22 positions, offense and defense, and so you got 86 running backs just for one position. Now can you imagine all the tight ends, all the linemen, all the linebackers, all the cornerbacks, all the receivers? It was hundreds of guys out there. I know it was anywhere between 500 and 1,000 guys that showed up that day. But it was 86 running backs. And when we all gathered around the coaches to get ready to go through our drill, they knew none of us. The only thing we had on us was a shirt that had numbers on it. They didn't even have to care about your name or anything because it was all about picking who was the best. And every time you did well, they would mark your number down. They wasn't being biased. They wasn't being anything. They were just writing your number down and just picking the best out of the numbers. But I remember when we got ready to walk on the field, before we even walked out on the field, there was this big old guy running back. He started looking around at all of us. And you know what he said? He said, man, I think I'm going to try out for another position. I think I'm going to go out for linebacker. And I looked at this dude, and I was like, wow, this guy is bigger than me. He looks stronger than me, although I doubt it. He's stronger. He's bigger than me. He looks strong. He looks fast. But his mind. You want me to tell you how I was thinking? I was thinking, when we went up in the group, 86 running backs, somebody got to go home. It just ain't going to be me. Before I saw anybody run, before I saw anybody catch the ball, before I saw anybody do any of the drills, not knowing what all the drills were. That's when my brother was with you. He can tell you about it. When we walked out on the field, it was 8 o'clock. When we walked off the field, it was 20 minutes to 7. That's how long we went through the count. But before we got ready to go through, my mindset had already won the position. Because my mindset was, man, y'all look awesome. But somebody got to go home. And guess who is not going home? Me. My level of thinking was at a high level than guys who had the same amount of skill, who was a little bit faster in the 40, who done some of the drills better than I did, but I did some of the drills better than they did. But what was the difference? My mindset. And the coaches saw it. So although they were looking at the talent was the equal, they would say, this guy's mindset is different from that running back because he's communicating with the quarterback saying, man, you got to release the ball before I get to this spot. Why are you holding the ball till I make my cut? When I make my cut and look at you, I should be seeing the ball. Why is the ball still in your hand? That's what I'm saying in the hub. So the coach is looking at that and saying, man, this dude's level of thinking is far beyond the rest of these running backs. He understands the game. He don't just know how to play, but he understands how the game should be played. He knows that he's a running back. Although he's a running back, he knows that the quarterback should release the ball not when he open, but before he get open. I didn't catch the ball to be running. Quarterbacks who think are not good quarterbacks. You got to have instinct when you get at that level. You got to be able to anticipate and trust me and know that I'm going to be in the spot where you throw the ball. Don't throw the ball to the spot where I am because I'm running. running, and I'm moving fast. And if you throw it to the spot where I am, I'm going to run clean past that spot, and thus you're going to get an interception, or I'm going to have to turn around and catch the ball from behind me because you being too cautious, and I'm playing instinctively, and you thinking. We both got to be on the same page. You got to trust me, and you got to know that when I cut, I'm ready to catch the ball. You lead me. I'm going to go get that bad boy. Don't throw it where I am. Throw it where I'm going. That's the difference between a thinking person and a person who plays instinctively. Your instinctive people are your Hall of Famers. Your thinkers just play. Your thinkers make it, but they don't keep their job. Your Hall of Famer, your Hall of Fame athletes are those who play at a high level because of their state of mind. Now, Yah had given me that state of mind because it was designed to unseal the scripture. So he said, let me reorder this boy's steps because he's going in the wrong direction. Remember, coming out of high school, I had an offer to play football at Brown's University, Ivy League school. I wanted to go. They wanted me to go. Y'all didn't want me to go. You want me to tell you why? Because I would have been living in Rhode Island right now. If I had gone to Brown University, most likely I would have stayed in that region, Providence, Rhode Island. I would have stayed in that region. I would not be here. Thus, y'all said, I got to get this nut off the football field. Because the football field takes him out of where I'm delighting him. And he's going to spend his energy using that state of consciousness to make himself a Hall of Famer instead of what I order him to do on the field of the scriptures. So I'm going to give him an advanced mind, but I got to start to order his steps. I got to start making him right companion. I got to start taking him away from the football field, so I got to cause him to lose those companions and different things like that. And I got to do all these things to get him where I want him to be in order to use that state of mind that I've given him for my divine purpose. Oh, yeah, I know without a doubt I would have been a Hall of Famer because my thinking is not normal. My thinking is from an elite athlete perspective. Thus, when I pick up the scripture, I pick up the scripture and bring understanding from a different class of preacher. So y'all was like, well, I'm not going to let you waste that on no football. So and so, closing those doors. How many doors you got closed in your face, y'all? What were you trying to be? Where were you going? Where were you at church at first? All them things got to happen. What started happening in your life to make you uncomfortable? I'm going to mess with Mama Cole. Now, she was trying to do some things at some other churches, and every time the preacher would give her the opportunity to do some things, he'd get upset, and, you know, he'd get frustrated and things like that because everything he'd give her to do, he'd always try to take away from it and take the credit for it. And, Lord, she run into me. And because it's the right companionship, every time you look around, I'm trying to throw something in her lap that I know she loves doing, and I'll be like, just whatever you want to do with it. She said, do you know what you're saying? Yes, I do, because I know our companionship is ordered by God, so I got complete trust in your skill. I'm going to turn you loose. Go crazy in that building. Put all your ideas together. Take the second floor and have it glowing with ideas and talent and skills and all that come to pass, because this companionship is divine. I know y'all ordered us both. You was over here and I was over there. You belonged to that church and I was just starting out and y'all said, let me just order this and bring it all together. And you think about each one of you. Where would you have been if you were not a part of here? What state were you in? What country were you in? Where you could have been? I'm speaking to you and I'm speaking to everyone that's going to hear this. Where were you? And y'all said, I ordered your steps. The steps of a man are ordered. I have divine connected you to bring about something great. And when you were trying to do that talent with the wrong companion, it was always friction. It was always something stopping it. You was always hitting the brick wall. Long, you was always bumping your head. When you, every time you step on that football field, you look pretty. But y'all said, I'm going to shut that door. I'm going to close the door. I'm going to close the door every time you go through it until you finally see that I honored you and I'm going to use that talent for what I finally called it to be. You will not be a Hall of Fame football player, but you will be something that I call you to do at the highest degree. Just not football. And you think about you. What is it that's going on with your mind that causes y'all to say, you got to be part of this? Remember the things that you were trying to do? Remember all the places that you wanted to go and the careers that you wanted to take on, all these different things that you were doing, and y'all said, nope, I just got you there in order to order yourself because I got divine connection, so I'm going to put you there just to get you right here. I remember how I met Elder. I met Elder through my sister, Renita. And the first time I met him, he just looked at me, I just looked at him. We just stayed on each other the whole time. We just kind of looked at each other and just kept it going. I didn't know that he was going to be one of my closest companions when it came down to ministry. I was like, this just a dude my sister knows. But one of the things that he often said, he said, I realized that y'all divinely connected me to your sister just to connect me to the ministry. But I thought he was just some guy just go to church. I mean, came to our service one time. You know, I think we had it over in the apartment. We had a service over there, and I think it's the first time he came. And you know, he kind of laughed when he saw me messing around with that keyboard and making up some songs that I did. You know, I look at him every now and then. He was tripping out. I was like, man, this dude. and so, I didn't say nothing to him that day. He didn't say nothing to me that day. A lot of times we would be around one another in the certain cities that Rita would bring him around. I wouldn't say nothing to him, and he didn't say nothing. He wouldn't say nothing to me. Now you can't get us to shut up when we're around each other. So a lot of times we'll leave y'all and go to ourselves and talk, because we always talk about the things of the kingdom. Little did I know, that was a divine companion the first day I saw him. Little did I know, each one of you was divine companion. I was teaching my sister son, you know, on Facebook, I was telling she was adopted. I was saying she was adopted, people were thinking she was actually adopted. So that was funny. But she didn't like it too much, but that's okay. But I always have done her that way. But she's my sister for a reason. She could have been anybody's sister. Each one of you could have been any other thing as far as some companion is concerned, but yet God divinely ordered us to be connected. Companionship. So y'all sent me here to tell you tonight, each one of you have been divinely planted by Yah to be a part of what he's doing in the kingdom. And what he's doing with us is such a high degree of blessing to mankind that we have not even imagined the success in ministry that we're going to have. We haven't even imagined it. So much so that I often ask this question. I said, what is it about little us that will make people go out of their way to try to stop us? Here you got this preacher who every time pretty much I'm in some type of city, I'm in the background. People try to push me in the forefront. I go out in the corner. You know, actually, my son, Avery Chief Moore, he called me, and I was minding my own business, getting ready to head to the house. He called me, Daddy, why are you not up here? Why I'm not up where? We here at the park, it's National some, he said, it's national such and such, and you need to be here. You need to, people need to meet who you are, and you need to be exposure. People need to understand who you are, because he knows who I am, and he's saying, man, people gotta see you and get to know who you are and see what's going on, because they don't understand the blessing that you bring to the table. I do, and that's why I'm always trying to put you out there. And I just keep hearing the Spirit of Yah said, you know, it's not our time yet. But when it's our time, then Yah will push us in the forefront, although it's something that I don't want. All of you who are familiar with how I operate in large cities when it's our event, I've always done this since day one that I've been pastoring, is I've always stayed in the background. Whenever things start happening, you'll see me. Even when we have events at the church, a lot of times people didn't even know I was pastor. And all of you who've been here long enough at the ministry, you know that is the truth. When we were put on events at our center in East Texas, a lot of people be walking around and like, okay, who's the president of Project United? I'll be sitting way back there in the back of the auditorium somewhere. Auditorium would be pretty much full and nobody would even know. I would be irrelevant. They'd see me around there with a broom and dustpan. They'd be like, oh, man, he ain't nobody. Just like I like it. Because my steps are ordered by Yah, and I want him to be glorified in everything I do. Therefore, I am not interested in the limelight, but I'm interested that the light shine on him. I want to glorify my Father. I want to exalt his Son who made it all possible. Okay? I know there will be events someday that will require all of us to step up to the front. But when that day happens, understand that Yah ordered those steps. Oh, don't worry about them on your own. When y'all ready for you to be in the forefront, believe me, can't none of us hide. Thinking, I'll tell you, some of these events, I'll be trying to hide, won't tell nobody who I am, and before you know it, people start walking up to me, who are you? I still try to avoid it, just tell my name. Yeah, okay, your name is Lon, but who are you? What are you doing? Okay, I'm the president. I thought you were. You just sitting back there all quiet and stuff. I know after this guy is somebody important, but he's just not letting people know. But we keep our mind focused on what Yah has ordered us to do and keep our delight in him and know that our companionship has been brought together and established by Yah. Trust me, you will not be able to find a place to hide when Yah is ready to be glorified in each one of you. He will take your talents and your gifts and everything that he's put in you, and he will put it on display, and you or anybody else is not going to be able to hide it or hinder it. Because Yah said, when I delight in your way, I do with you what I want. And when I'm ready for you to shine, I'm going to be glorified in you shining. So I want to encourage each one of you on tonight to understand that you could have been sitting in a Bible study, we call it training school. You could have been sitting in any service whatsoever, all these churches around the Metroplex, you could have been sitting in any one of those places. But Yah said, your companionship is right here. Because what I'm doing, not to discredit any other, what he's doing to anybody else. I'm just concerned about what he's given us to do. And that's not a term to say I don't care. But I'm saying Yah has ordered us to do it, and that's what my focus is. Yah ordered your step. He said the companions that you had, They were not good for you, because that's not what I delighted in for you. So in order to get your divine steps where they need to be, I had to orchestrate things to happen so that I could get you where I wanted you to be. I delight in you being here, not there. Lord, I didn't delight in you playing pro ball. I didn't delight in you maybe you know, living in you know, the Providence, Rhode Island area. I didn't delight in you to be in all those places. I could have been pastoring in Florida for years. My father-in-law offered me a job and good pay. He said, all you got to do is show up, open your Bible, close it, and go home. We're going to buy your house. We're going to buy your cars. We're going to buy you everything. You're going to get paid well, and I can have my grandkids down here in Florida with me. All I had to do was say, yeah. But y'all said, I didn't order that. That's not where your companionship is. I'm doing something in Dallas, and I got people who I am connecting with you, but they can't connect with you, and you way down there in Florida, so I got to bound you to where you are. The one thing Elder said, he said, man, I've been to quite a few places, countries, and other things like that. He said, I come to the conclusion that, man, I'd rather not be nowhere else than in the Metroplex, because that's divine companionship. Y'all would not allow him to be comfortable in India when he was down there. When he went to India, when he went to Canada, y'all was like, I'm not going to allow you to be comfortable there. He's in Los Angeles now. I'm not going to allow you to be comfortable in any of those places. Yeah, they got bells and whistles, but they're not your bells and whistles. You always feel comfortable when your feet hit Texas in the Metroplex. Now you be like, I am home. Because divine companionship is there. And God is not going to delight in him being in any other place. And there are a lot of the issues that goes on with a lot of people that's no longer here. They're struggling with not just almost in life. They're struggling with life because they have connected or established companionship with something else that's not what God told them to do. So it's always friction and stuff going on, and they can't progress forward because they're not connected to where they're supposed to be. I had a spiritual son that, you know, I told you about, that talked to me a few weeks ago, and he made statements about certain things he was trying to do and need help. And I laughed and told him, said, what you're trying to do is what was already set up for you to do. You just got all in yourself and went off to try to do it. So everything you asked me to help you on, it was already in place before you left. But you want to come back around the way and get access to the same stuff that you had connections to before you ran out the door and decided you were going to do something. Then came to the conclusion that you were greater now. So, again, I'm finished. It didn't even take me an hour to do this. I'm just here to encourage you. Proverbs 37, verse 23 is the only verse that I'm going to read. If y'all don't have anything else, I'm finished. I'm encouraging you to have further understanding about how important you are. Verse 23, the steps, the companionship. Yeah, they may be steps, but that's referring to companionship. Y'all say, I'll hook you, I give you a hookup for people because they're ordered by me. I delight in the path that you take, so I'm making necessary companionship. And when you got the right companionship, you'd be like my uncle and I sitting there on the phone talking for all that time. We both just all bubbling over it with joy. And you know, I was telling her, I said, you know what? I said, it's hard for me to leave the building. I said, I walk on each floor like four or five times before I can leave. Because when you're divinely connected in a way and you understand that you're walking in divine path, it's hard. I said, so I go on the second floor. Then I go back down on the first floor. Then I go down in the basement. Then I go back on the first floor and go around the second floor. And my, you know, my legs are sore now because I'm going up and down those steps so many times, and I'm looking at the same thing over and over. And I'm like, I need to go. I know I need to go, but I can't go because divine purpose and self being ordered and having the right companionship is a wonderful feeling. It's a good feeling when you got the right people in your life. There's nothing like having the right companionships in life. Nothing like it on earth. Nothing like it on earth. And so it's vital important for us to understand that we are encouraged to know that we're all supposed to be exactly where we are. Okay? We're all supposed to be exactly where we are. Man, I'm just like Elder. Man, I can't think of nowhere else I'd rather be. That's a technical term. I know when the Messiah comes to gather us, then we going home. I'd rather be in the homeland when it really comes down looking at the big picture, but that's a divine step too, and it's fine. But before that divine step that's ordered by Yah come to pass, I would rather be no place than right here, right now. You ask me, do I want to go to the land of Israel right now? Nope. Why? My Messiah is not there. I don't want to go over there. I don't go over there with all them folks on there and all this weird and crazy stuff going on. I don't go over there. I just stay right here. I feel more comfortable here. Now, when the Messiah comes, I'm ready to go home. Let's go to this next order, divine step thing here. I'm ready. But until then, I don't want to go nowhere close to our homeland. I don't even care to visit. I don't care. I don't even see nothing. It ain't looking like it's supposed to look nowhere. The land is cursed. Well, I want to see the cursed land, but I want to go when them doggone grapes or a cluster of grapes is a man can carry a cluster of grapes, two men. You know, we go into the store and come out with a cluster of grapes and a bag. Well, back in the day, two men had to carry that. That's how big the grapes were. I don't want to go back to no land and pushing out grapes like that. I want to go back to the land where you know, Brother Law and I have to get them cluster of grapes and walk down the street with the grapes about the size of some apples, you know. So, that's my encouragement on each one of you to lay down, and those who will eventually hear this and are connected or desire to connect, to know that your reason for connecting has really nothing to do with you, per se. It has all to do with what God is delighting in each one of us. And that's the reason why we feel so good about our connections, because we know that we are all in the right place. We know that we are home, so to speak. When I was a part of other ministries before Yah led me to start this one here, I always felt out of place. It was just a process of me passing through. So Yah was like, I'm not going to allow you to get comfortable. You're only going to get comfortable when I make your divine companionship. Other than that, you're passing through. It'll keep you uncomfortable because you pass from one stage to the next one. When you get in that divine place, you're gonna take roots. And you're gonna sprout and grow because that's your divine connection by Yah. That is my secret to knowing that my companionships are divinely orchestrated. It's Yah's delight. And when Yah is delighted in your step, you're going to be delighted in those steps. Okay? Any questions or comments? Not. I am.
Yeah, I have a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I appreciate everything you said tonight, Pastor, and I just wanted to add to that. You know, I've been a member of a lot of different churches, but every church I ever went to, I always felt like I had a lot to give, but wherever I went to, whatever my hands found to do, I would do it, but it's like it wasn't received. It's like, you know, it just didn't work and it just couldn't work. So when I moved to Dallas and I started going to the Potter's House, and, you know, that gave me a great lift in what I needed at the time. So when my son left the Potter's House and he started going to United Ministries, and he told me it was at your house. Excuse me for laughing. I said to him, I said, how are you going to leave the Potter's House and go to a church like that? And he said, you coming too? And I said, yeah, right. So, but, you know, things happen, and it brought me to that place. And like I said, none of this wasn't working before where I was going to church. And so, you know, it worked out, and the Lord just aimed me in that direction, and I came the first time. And it's just like when I got involved with activities, like when we were working in Honey Grove, and you just gave me free rein to do whatever it is I had the ability to do. I was just awed by that, because never, ever in my entire life had I been able to, given the ability to do what I could do, because you said, that's not my lane, that's your lane, and you stay in yours and I'll stay in mine. It's like, wow, that's a first. And it was just so refreshing. And from that point until now, it's just been a growth process, and all the gifts and talents that the Lord had given me, that he had allowed me to know and acknowledge that I had these gifts, but he didn't let me use them. I couldn't use them. Every opportunity I tried to, the door would be shut. And it's like, now I know good and well, I got this talent, and I got this talent, and I can do this, and I can do that, but I couldn't do it because there was never an opening to do it until now. And it's like, okay, God's timing is not our timing. Here I am in my 60s, and he's just now allowing me to do all that he put in me to do. And I think that's awesome, because it's never too late to do what he's given you to do, because he knows what time it is. He knows when that time is right to release you to do those things that he's cultivated for years and for your whole life. And I'm just excited by the prospect of being able to have a leader that will allow me to do what God has put in me to do, what he has raised me up to do. And it's awesome. And I thank you, Pastor, for letting the Lord lead you in regards to me, because, you know, he's obviously leading you in a whole lot more other things than just as directly related to me, but I'm just speaking for myself right now. So in regards to what my task is and to what my plan and purpose is, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to do it. And y'all know me, I can't talk without crying, so there you go.
And, you know, I'll say this, little did you know that when at the time when y'all was sending you to that service in the house, he was also connecting you to something that was necessary from a project perspective, even what we're working on now, that was way bigger than, you know, I used to always tell people, you know, I said, you know, our ministry is way bigger than the room. And you know, little did you know that he was guiding you through that course to do the things that you're doing right now, and it was like that was necessary. And so he was like, your role, and I want each one of you to hear that and see yourself personally. It was like, your role is so important that I'm not going to let you waste it anywhere else. Same way with me, I'm not going to let you waste it on football. It's too important for me to allow you to waste what I'm doing anywhere else, because anywhere else would have been a waste, because it's not what I divinely ordered you to be from a companion standpoint. And to see him do it, and it speaks volumes to all of our abilities, you know, because even when you look at pastors' mindset is, you know, in order for me to be a pastor, I have to have a, you know, great big old church, or I have to have this, I have to have all these different things. When y'all told me to start the ministry, I just started out in the house. I wasn't concerned about where. I just was concerned about being obedient. And when he told me to start it, I started it from that very point on. And we just started out, in the house and just kept going forward from there. Well, as you look at now, you know, we have all of these buildings. You know, we have the two buildings that we have. Others I've turned down because it wasn't a part of what was ordered for us. And when you look at the big picture of everything, we all can look at those steps and say, man, they were even tiny ones at the time. And God is bringing us to this massive grandeur, kingdom vision that is to be carried out by us.
It's a great honor. It's a great responsibility, and I feel personally awesome to have the companionship that I do to bring God's divine purpose to pass in the earth. It's just awesome to be a part of. So I just want to encourage y'all and to give you further understanding of that fact before we deal with this lesson. Okay? And again, just remember your life and just look at it from an awe perspective, knowing that, man, I could have been anywhere, but God divinely ordered me to be right where I am, to do exactly what I'm doing and getting ready to do.
Okay? Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
One more thing. You know, I said before, I had all of these gifts and things that I wanted to use for God's purpose, and he had me like in a box. Well, I kind of feel that way now, because if I could choose where I would be right now, it wouldn't be here in Tyler. It would be right there in Dallas, and I'd be right there. I'd get there before you to the building walking around looking. But he has me in a place to where I can't do that. And I don't know what the reason is, but just like I didn't know what the reason was before, but when the time comes, when the time is right for me to be there, he's going to release me to be there. Because if I came now, I'd be out of order, because that's not what he ordained for me to be. So I have to continue to be patient, knowing that I have gifts to offer and I have things to do, but the timing is not right. You can have things and abilities, but if the timing is wrong, then it throws everything off. So I'm just biding my time, waiting until he releases me to come. And when I come, I hope you still agree that to release me, like you said.
Well, I ain't gonna have no choice but to do it, because it's been divinely established. And even from the example of what I said in reference to myself and what Chief Moore had said to me, he was like, okay, Dad, come on, why don't you come over here and you get the exposure, things like that. I said, it's not my time. And so the same way that you're saying, the steps are not divinely ordered for me to have that type of exposure right now, like the same way the steps are not divinely ordered for you to be up here right now. But when that time frame comes, there's nothing going to be able to stop that from taking place, because it's what y'all delight in doing. We're doing right now, each one of us, is, you know, we're doing what y'all delight in us to do. And the time will come when he will move us forward and do what's necessary. Okay. All right. Anything else, Ms. Bob? Good? Okay, that's all I have. Y'all remember worship. Oh, let me pray. Father, y'all, we bless you, and we just thank you for this understanding. We thank you for encouraging us to know that all of our steps are ordered by you. You've established these companionships for your glory, and we delight in glorifying you, and we give you the praise for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.